First thing that came to mind when I read that passage, those hard words of Jesus, is what G.K. Chesterton said. Christianity has not been tried and found wanting. Christianity has been found difficult and so not tried. Jesus is focusing us on action, I think, in these words. Don't just talk the talk, but walk the walk. The book of James says, faith without works is dead. Even Jesus himself will say, not those who say, Lord, Lord, are saved, but those who do the will of the Father in heaven. Nike was on to something when they said, just do it. The emphasis of the teaching today is on putting Jesus' words into action. Listen, he says, so that you can do. They're challenging words. They're words meant for people who are trying to follow Jesus. We're a people on the move. Our faith is not an active, not a passive faith. Discipleship is closely related to discipline. That's the same root word. It takes focus and effort and sacrifice, blood, sweat, and tears, if you will, in order to walk the path of discipleship. I'm reminded of 1 Corinthians 9. It's one of the few passages in the Bible that has to do with athletic imagery. And Paul says this, athletes exercise self-control to win the prize. They don't run aimlessly. They don't waste their punches. They work hard. They'll punish their bodies in order to get that wreath. Well, I think Paul's saying that he would like to see people in the church follow Christ with as much enthusiasm and put to practice Christ's teaching with as much effort and focus and discipline as an Olympic athlete trying for gold. Or how about this, to be really timely, a movie star going for Oscar. Did I get that right? A musician going for a Grammy. An NFL team going for the Super Bowl. The emphasis of Jesus' teaching is to hear. That's where it starts, to hear, and then act. And the action's going to be hard. I mean, unless loving your enemies is easier for you than it is for me. Praying for those who are opposed to you doesn't come naturally. I went to a workshop a few years ago in Cherry Log, Georgia. Ever been to Cherry Log, Georgia? It's a pretty place. Probably some good fishing and hiking up there, but not a whole lot else that I could tell. And there's a church up there that's famous because they had a preacher there named Fred Craddock. And Fred Craddock became a world-renowned preaching professor at Emory, not just a preacher, but an author and a professor. And so what they've done is they've created workshops up there in his name that then educate the church for better mission and work in the world today. I went up to one such workshop, and the person who led that workshop in Cherry Log, Georgia, said, when you read the Bible, especially the Gospels, pay attention to the verbs. The verbs. Here's an abbreviated form of the passage. Listen. Love your enemies. Do good. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. Be merciful as God is merciful. Forgive and give. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Did you hear those verbs? It starts with listen. That's why you're in the great minority of North Fulton today. You're in a congregation and a sanctuary for worship, striving to listen for a word. And then upon listening, do. Which means love, the greatest of God's gifts, the first of commands. Which means further goodness and bless and look for ways to pray for others, even those who don't like you so much. Be merciful toward all. Give and lend and forgive. And to sum it up, do to others as you'd have them do to you. Listen and then do. I think I've told you before, but I just love the story. It's a little league coach in Georgia who in the dugout is telling the kids which positions to play. He's going to change it up, you know, so everybody gets equal playing time. And he sends the team out onto the field. And they run out there in front of all their parents clapping. And the coach yells out, "Hey, Jimmy, what are you doing on first base? I told you to get on third base." Jimmy yells back in front of the whole crowd across the diamond, "Coach, you told me to go to first base."
"Jimmy, don't do what I say, do what I mean."
The older you get, the more you can appreciate that. "Pass me you know what I mean." In Jesus' case, he says what he means, and he means what he says. If you follow me, do these things. Did you hear the verbs? Love and do good, and treat others in the way you like to be treated. We in the world so easily can lose our way, or we forget why on earth we're here, or what would God want us to do, or how should I live? What is God's will? Jesus simplifies it here. "I'm glad you asked," he said. "Love one another. Bless those who surround you, whether they are friend or foe. Do good deeds. Be merciful and forgive. Be generous, loving. Don't hold grudges." You know, it's interesting how the Bible's commandments so often are the don'ts that come to mind. Don't kill, don't worship other gods, don't judge, don't bear false witness, don't. Rabbi Hillel once was asked by a student, he said, "Rabbi, if we took the whole law of Moses, and could you summarize that for me while I'm standing on one foot?" And Rabbi Hillel said, "Yes. Don't do to a fellow that which is despicable." Everything else is just commentary. That was pretty quick. Jesus here turns the don'ts, don't do what's despicable, to a do. He puts a positive spin on it. Do this. Do these things. It is God's way with you. It must be your way with one another. The good news is Christianity is not just an esoteric experience of ideas for another world. There are opportunities to try to practice it in the real world. I guess you are going to encounter people today, as soon as you leave the sanctuary, who might be a little challenging, who might not always tell the truth, who might not be so gracious, who might, when you bless them, curse you back. I'm just guessing there may be people at home or school or neighborhood or vacation or stores or work that are difficult to love. And isn't Jesus giving us just a long list of folks who are difficult to love? You will have an opportunity, think of it this way, to practice the faith. I want to say one last comment on Jesus' teaching today, given the world in which we live. If someone abuses you or strikes you on the cheek or steals from you, I think he's right. You should indeed pray for them. But I think you should also call the police. The church has no business perpetuating abuse, covering it up, hoping it'll just go away. If it's not named and called out, if there aren't consequences, there will be no change in the behavior. Sort of like an alcohol or a drug addiction. Unless the problem is addressed head on, we're just enabling. So for the good of the abuser and for the sake of those either abused in the past or perhaps future targets, call it out and let there be accountability. My father, you know this, I think, was a district attorney. And one day he was walking to get ice cream with his grandson. And they came to the Tasty Freeze, and they were talking about life. And my son, at about age of 7, wanted to know, "Grandpa, did you really put bad guys in prison?" I said, "Well, I put a lot of people in prison." And Neil said, "Do they ever get out and want to get back at you?" He said, "Well, usually they do get out, but no, they're not usually mad at me." He said, "All I can say, Neil, is I hope they can learn from their mistakes." He goes, "Well, there's a guy put in prison right now. Hey, Charlie, how are you?" Charlie was also getting ice cream. Charlie looked back and said, "Oh, hi, George, how have you been?" "Pretty good." And my dad said, to Neil's eyes this big, "Charlie, Did you ever learn your lesson? Oh, did I ever? It took me a while, but I got there. Thanks. It's not meant to destroy. It's meant to help somebody learn, take accountability, and grow. Well, if you've been listening today, you have heard Jesus say, wait, I wasn't listening that closely. What did he say? Love, bless, pray for, show mercy, give, forgive, do good, treat others the way you like to be treated, do to others as God has done to you. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.